Good morning. Hope you had a great week. The temperature has warmed up, hasn't it? Yeah. Well, I'm going to dive in here. Great to see everybody today. You know that with God, everything that He does builds and gets better. Did you know that? The best days aren't behind us. They're ahead. The things that He is doing, they get better and better and better. It's the way that God is. It's not that we look back when you were in your 20s and go, oh, if it were only like that again. No, it's going to get better as you get older. The things that God does in the world, that He's doing with the kingdom, it gets better and better. Eternity is going to be like that as well. It's the way that God is. The best movies, too, are a little bit like that. When instead of just the first one that comes out, but it gets better, the second one and the third one, or even during the movie, toward the end, when the secret weapon is revealed or the tables turn and what looks like an impossible situation all of a sudden turns into something great, those are great movies. Those surprises that happen at the end. And one of the things that we just finished celebrating a few weeks ago was the Resurrection Day. We call Easter, but we are celebrating the Resurrection Day, this amazing thing of what Jesus has done for each of us. And in the scriptures, and still to this day, there's been a celebration beyond the resurrection called Pentecost, right? That comes 7 weeks, 50 days exactly, after the resurrection of Jesus, that we celebrate that. Now, we're still a few days from that. I think it's June 9th this year. But I want to begin talking about Pentecost. I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit, Lord willing, this week and next, as this really, I would say, one of God's greatest surprises for us, and this continues on. It's pretty amazing. John the Baptist, who you know who he is. Jesus said of John the Baptist that he was the greatest person ever born of woman, right? Pretty amazing. Well, John the Baptist prophesied this one time. He prophesied a little bit, but here's one thing he said in Mark chapter 1, verse 8. He said, or it says of him, John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet was locusts, basically grasshoppers, and wild honey. And he was preaching and saying, after me, one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptized you with water, but he, when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So John prophesies something that has never really been heard of before. That there's someone coming, he's greater than me, and when he comes, he's going to, here's his job, he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. John said some other things about Jesus later, but he said he would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, just a quick look at Jesus' life and ministry after John said this. Did Jesus baptize with the Holy Spirit while he was on the earth? He did not. John prophesied it, but Jesus doesn't do it. John himself started to doubt. Do you remember when he sent some of his disciples over to Jesus and said, are you the one, or should we be looking for someone else? This great man had an idea, and he prophesied it, of what Jesus would do, but Jesus wasn't doing that. He was doing other things, like raising the dead, multiplying food, turning water to wine. He was doing a lot of other things, but he wasn't doing what John had seen him do or prophesied that he would do, and that's baptizing in the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, I would say in our lives as well, the Lord speaks to us, puts a dream in our heart. Maybe we get a prophetic word about something God wants to do with us. But it doesn't happen in the timing that we think it's going to or the way that we think it's going to. It may happen in a different way, and the timing may be off. That happened with John the Baptist. That certainly happens with us. It's all okay. Because God will do it. It might look different. And it might be in a different time than we think it's going to be, and that's okay too. What we don't want to do is let go of what God has spoken in here, what he's put on the inside of us, what he's prophesied over us as well. And then Jesus comes on the scene after John prophesies that. Of course, he baptizes him in water. Jesus begins his ministry. And then Jesus begins to say several things about the Holy Spirit. And I want to read some of these together. We're going to read several, starting in John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus says this, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Now, I think this is important whenever you read the Bible, whenever I read the Bible, to put a little bit in context of what is going on when Jesus is saying something or when something is going on. The Holy Spirit has not been talked about a lot up to this point. And all of a sudden, Jesus, the representative of heaven, the one who came to not only pay for our sin, but to allow us to live eternally, to break the barrier between us and the Father, all of these things that Jesus came to do to save the lost. But he also begins speaking of the Holy Spirit right here. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." Jesus lets the world in on a secret that people didn't know about at that point. There's another helper that's coming. Here was Jesus, but he says someone else is coming. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You know, it's impossible for the world to receive the Holy Spirit. It's impossible for any person to receive the Holy Spirit unless we know and follow him, unless we turn from our own ways, receive him, then we can have all of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But if we don't, you can't just get the Holy Spirit. It says the world, Jesus is saying this, the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But the reverse is, if you see him and you know him, you can receive the Holy Spirit. But you know him because he abides with you. And then he reveals something else. And he will be in you. Amen. Jesus says something that's a little bit earth-shaking right here. He's letting them in on something that no one knew. The Holy Spirit is coming. He's been with you right now, but he's going to help you, and he's going to live inside of you. I think, honestly, if the devil, here's my guess, is that the devil was following Jesus around, trying to thwart whatever he was saying, trying to stop whatever he was doing, because he didn't know either what God had planned. And I think when Jesus, is my guess, I'm speculating, I think when Jesus said this right here, I think the enemy's knees started to quiver a little bit. I think he probably cussed. Right there. I'm serious. Think about this. Because Jesus, here, the devil's thinking, I've got to get rid of this guy. Let me get rid of this guy. And if I can get rid of him, I'm going to stop all this nonsense. And I can keep ruling the world. And Jesus says, maybe he turned to wherever the devil was standing at that moment. He says, "I'm sending you another helper. I'm going to send another, and he's not only going to help you, he's going to live inside of you. He's going to live inside of you." I'm certain the enemy was not thrilled. John 14, 26, Jesus goes on and explains a little bit more about what is coming and who the Holy Spirit is. He, again, here, it calls him the helper. He says, "But the helper," that's a great name for the Holy Spirit living in you, by the way. Do you realize that? That whenever you need help, you have built in a helper. Every single one of us, anytime, do you ever need help? Man, I do. Amen. Like every day, throughout every day. And we have built into us what Jesus calls the helper. It's his name, the helper. It's what he does. He helps. The Holy Spirit, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, he clarifies, that's who he is, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things. Wait a minute. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to, from the inside, begin to reveal to you and I all things that we need to know. The things we need to understand. When you're reading the scripture sometimes, do you just all of a sudden get clarity on something? You understand something, you're praying, all of a sudden there's understanding that just comes. It doesn't even make sense how you got that, how you knew that. That is the Holy Spirit, the helper, revealing all things that you need. And he'll do this. He'll bring to your remembrance, as we get older, thank God for that, all that I said to you. The older I get, the more I need reminders. Even like the scriptures, I used to memorize so much scripture, and I find them fading. I've got to go back and rememorize them. But the Holy Spirit, he helps me with that, right? He helps you. He helps us remember the things that we need to remember. Jesus also said this in John 16, verse 7. He goes on to talk about this Holy Spirit. But I will tell you the truth. After he shares that he's about to die, it is to your advantage that I go away. Can you imagine someone that you really, really love, that you're really, really close to, and they turn to you and they say, it's going to be better for you when I die? I mean, that's what Jesus is saying to them. It's going to be better. It's going to be to your advantage that I go away. Why? Because Jesus knew something they didn't know. He knew something they didn't know. He knew there was going to be more than just him trapped in an earth suit called Jesus walking around, that he, by his spirit, would be able to be everywhere living in every one of his followers. That is an advantage. Having the helper living on the inside of us, right? For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Do you realize that in the mission of Jesus and all the things that he came to do, revealing the Father, paying for our sin, giving us eternal life, all of those things, the full circle was him getting back to heaven. He left heaven, came, made himself lower than the angels, came as a baby. That's just amazing. Grew up, all that he went through, but he wasn't done even at the resurrection. His work of paying for our sin was done on the cross. He yelled it out. It's finished, right? Yes. But he wasn't done yet. That work was done. But then he rose from the dead. Amen. Right? Yes. He wasn't done yet. You know what else he did? For 40 days, he preached the kingdom of God, the same message he'd been preaching for 3.5 years. He preaches for another 40 days. You can read it in Acts 1. He preaches the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, which we talk about a lot here. Then he ascends. He goes flying in the air, up in the clouds, and then enters that spiritual domain where heaven is. Excuse me. And at that moment, he does his last part of this mission, this full circle, and he says what it is right there. If I don't go away, this isn't going to happen. But if I do go away, if I ascend, if I return to my Father, I'm going to request, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to the earth. And that's what he did. When he ascended, he was headed to heaven to be back with his Father and to release a secret weapon. To release something better than anybody ever thought could happen or would happen. While his disciples were sad, hiding in a room, the Holy Spirit was about to come to the earth to help us in ways that we needed, to continue what Jesus started, to help us fulfill and walk this life like Jesus walked it. We can't do it alone. We need a helper, right? We need a helper to live like Jesus lived. John 16, verse 12 says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I remember one of my mentors, he was 87 and I was 18. I used to go to his house almost every week. And I would ask him questions. Sometimes he'd say that. He says, I've got things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. And I would get so angry. I get frustrated. It's like, no, tell me, I can handle this. Well, Jesus is doing that here with these guys. I've got a lot of things to tell you, but you can't handle them right now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, speaking of the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. Do we need the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Without him, it's difficult to be led into all truth. With him, it's what we get. We get to be led into all truth by the Holy Spirit. We need desperately this Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. He'll guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me. He will take of mine and will disclose it to you. He's going to illuminate. He's going to share truth. And also, here's something else that comes along with this. It says in 2 Corinthians 13, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We are to know the Holy Spirit, not just have him, be led by him, but he's God. So there's fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and the Spirit. That's what it says right here. So there's fellowship, there's relationship, as with everything that God does, it's out of relationship. And then fast forward a little bit to Acts chapter 1, reading a couple more scriptures here. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, gathering them together, this is after Jesus resurrected, after the 40 days of preaching, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, here we go, John prophesied this, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. What John baptized was right. It just wasn't going to happen while Jesus was walking around on the earth. He said, you need to wait for this. It's about to happen. Verse 6 through 8. So when they had come together, they were asking him, Lord, is it at this time you were restoring the kingdom to Israel? They still had this worldly mindset. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power. Here's something else that's new. Wait a minute. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. There's something you will receive that you don't have right now, and it's power. Power to be a witness, it says next. Power over sin. You're going to have power when the Holy Spirit is received into you. That's good news. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, even the remotest parts of the earth. This Holy Spirit that is talked about right here in these ways had not been understood, and we still don't understand, I think, in many ways. But in the Old Testament, even though the Holy Spirit, it says, was there at the very beginning, hovering over the waters, been here all along. But throughout the Old Testament, you see him move in certain ways, like he would move upon a person for a moment in time, like Joshua or David or even Samuel. And Saul, actually, he would cause them to prophesy sometimes or give them power to do something in a moment, and then he would leave. So you see the Holy Spirit here all along. And then Joel, the prophet Joel, said this in Joel 2. He said he would pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. He's prophesying of the future, of what Jesus was about to release. So it's, that little bit is prophesied in the Old Testament, but still not much understanding. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is he like? What is this? And then, of course, Jesus releases the Holy Spirit. He sends him to the earth, not as a wisp of air, not as goosebumps on the back of your neck, not just as to give you ability to speak in another language, though that's part of this too, but he came, the Holy Spirit came, to do much, much more than those things. Included in those things, though, sometimes you do get goosebumps. Sometimes he does come. When he came here at Pentecost, he came as a mighty rushing wind. So those things happen as well, but he came to empower you and I to do things that we could not do on our own. Amen. He came to live within us. Let's read here about Pentecost then. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, 120 of them, and suddenly there came from heaven, this is 50 days after Jesus said it was going to happen, or 10 days after he said it was going to happen, but 50 days after he resurrected. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. A noise like a violent rushing wind. I've not lived through a tornado, but when you hear people, has anybody in here lived through a tornado? We have several in here. I'm glad you made it through that. I've heard several people say that it sounded like a locomotive. Was that your experience as well, those that lived through it? A loud sound, a rushing wind. That's somewhat they didn't have locomotives back then to compare it to, but it says a loud, violent, rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. That noise was inside. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. They had come for the Feast of Weeks, which is what we now call Pentecost. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together. So the sound drew other people. What is that noise? People came to the room where they were because that noise was so loud. And they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. People from all kind of nations, they come around and they hear in their own language these Galileans speaking in their language. It says they were amazed, verse 7, and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, I think, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. Verse 12, and they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking, saying, they are full of sweet wine. They're drunk. They've been drinking this morning. You know, anything that's authentic will have a mockery spirit that's going to follow it and say things bad about it. That just count on it. Count on it. Something good is going to happen in a church, in a life, in a family. There's going to be mockery that's going to come. We just need to smile. The enemy hates the real, and he tries to twist it, and he'll try to mock and get people to discount it. That's just the way that it works. You know, the devil is a liar. Do you know that? You do know that. He lies. If he opens his mouth and he's talking, he's lying. He's accusing. His job description is to kill, steal, and destroy. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's a job title. And he's the liar. He's the father of lies, actually. He's the father of lies. So if he's speaking, he's lying. And man, just in talking about the Holy Spirit right now, in reading and thinking about and my life experience with him, and as you read these scriptures, you can see how the enemy, hating what Jesus said was going to happen, and then hating even more when it started to happen, how the enemy has done his best to lie to Christians, to tell them that the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything anymore. Think about that lie right there just for a second. The very one that Jesus spent all this time and it was prophesied and then he went to heaven, fulfilled the circle, and then sends the Holy Spirit to come live on the inside of us, and the enemy does not want you to believe that he does. He also doesn't want you to believe that the Holy Spirit has power to do anything anymore. So the enemy causes all these lies and he twists everything and says things like this. The Holy Spirit, you know, he stopped working at the death of the first century apostle. Where in the world is that in the scripture? It's not. Where in the world does it say that the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit perished and died? It's not in there at all. It's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. But the enemy does not want you and I to remember and realize that we can receive the Holy Spirit and we can have all of the gifts and the power of the Spirit living in our lives. The enemy's lying about that. Man, I think it makes me angry, honestly. Because this gift, it refers to the Holy Spirit through the scripture several times, that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The enemy does not want you to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to follow a set of rules the best you can in your own strength, without the helper, right? Thinking that what the Holy Spirit does is actually demonic. And that's taught in many, many churches. That what the Holy Spirit does is actually a demonic manifestation. Oh my goodness, it's like, think of the Father's heart. I waited for thousands of years to send my Spirit. And now the enemy's lying. He's lying. He's trying to get people to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit's the last thing you and I should ever be afraid of. I'm not talking about the awe of God. That's different. The marveling of God. To be afraid of him? I mean, that's like someone telling my kids all the time, your dad's horrible. You don't know, when you go home, you don't know what he's going to be like when he gets home. He might just hurt you. He might make you look foolish. He might expose you. That is like what the enemy's doing when he says these things against the Holy Spirit. And the exact opposite is true. The Holy Spirit is amazing. Amen. And when he lives on the inside, he's the helper. He's helping us. He's not making us look bad. He's not making us look foolish. He's helping us. He's helping us do the will of God in the earth. You and I are here with a purpose and a plan. We've been saved for this moment in time, toward the end of the age, after Jesus has paid for us and saved us and rescued us and pulled us out of the demonic realm, right? And put us in a completely different kingdom, the kingdom of the Son of Heaven. And now he set the Holy Spirit to live inside of us so that we can do the will of God in these days and be light throughout the earth. Amen. Changing where the enemy has caused things to happen. And we go in there and change those things. And we shine and we share this kingdom. We continue what Jesus began. And the enemy doesn't want you to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. But all the more we should dive into him. All the more we should receive him gladly and with an open heart and say, come on, I need you desperately. Help me to do your will in the earth. Amen. I need your help, Lord. When the Holy Spirit moved in this, at what we call Pentecost here, and these people were bewildered as to what's going on, the Apostle Peter jumped in and tried to explain it, and he did a great job. And he pulls upon Joel chapter 2, which we already read. And he says, this was prophesied, that the Spirit would come, he'd be poured out. That's why they're talking funny right now. He's being poured out on everybody. And then he says this in verse 38 and 39, repent, because it says they were cut to the quick in their hearts. They didn't understand what was going on. Those that weren't the 120 there. And Peter says, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. This is your opportunity. You feel something right now. You feel conviction. So here's your opportunity to repent. Turn around. Change your mindset. be baptized in the name of Jesus. And then he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can have this gift of the Holy Spirit after you repent, after you choose Jesus, after you forsake your own way. Then he says this wonderful thing. For the promise, what promise? Of the Holy Spirit coming, living inside of you, is for you and your children and for all, I love that word. You can underline, circle. All who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. For every generation from this one till the end of time. The Holy Spirit is for them. As much as they want of him, they can have him. It's for every. It's not just for you. It's not for us first century guys. He's saying it's for second, third, fourth, fifth, however many centuries there are until Jesus returns. In fact, Jesus said he's going to live in you forever. Forever. You know, when you go to heaven, you don't lose the Holy Spirit. Right? We have him forever. He lives on the inside of us. This reality, I don't think, I can tell you for me personally, I forget sometimes who I am and what I have. It's like in the natural, when I go to Africa, I go there about every year or so, and then you look around and you realize people don't have running water. There is no clean water here. That just naturally happens. They don't have what we call Western toilets. They don't have those. And I start remembering all that I have. Those are just simple, basic things. Now, in the spirit and in the spiritual world, how often do I forget who I am and what I have? Here's what you have, and here's who you are. You are a son or a daughter of the King, first off. It's your highest title on the whole planet, higher than President of the United States or CEO of anything. Your highest title, you've got it. You're a son of God or you're a daughter of God. You've got it. You've made it. And then, how about this one? You are the house, you are the home, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are well where God dwells. Do you realize that? Let's say on a day-to-day basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, do you realize that you are the carrier of the King of the universe, that he has chosen in his ability, and I don't even understand how he fits, but he said it, and it's true, he lives inside of you. Amen. It's not you here and him there. He's in outer space somewhere, and you're here just trudging along. That is not how it is. He has chosen to reveal the secret weapon, and Jesus sent him to live on the inside of you. So wherever you go, he is. Wherever you go, he's there. Now that belief right here takes some cranking to get us to a place where we really believe that. I know I'm saying it right now. I know the scripture says it right now. In fact, let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 6. But the one who joins himself to the Lord, this is also mind-bending, is one spirit with him. When you join yourself to the Lord, you're one spirit with him. I don't even understand that, but it sounds good. Verse 18, flee immorality. I mean, run from it, he says. Flee, run. Get up and run away from anything that smells of immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know, verse 19, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, not following you around, not just watching you, but living inside of you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. You're not your own anymore. I'm not my own anymore. I used to be Matt Peterson, owned by Matt Peterson. Now I'm Matt Peterson, owned by God. Now you are your name, owned by God. You've been purchased with a price, a high price, by the way. You're not your own. And now the Holy Spirit, if you've received him, lives on the inside of you. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. How about this? Romans 8:11. I'll be done in just a minute. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, is what he's saying. He gives life to your mortal body every day. Do you need life in your mortal body? Yes, I do. Do you need healing in your mortal body? Yes, I do. Do you need to think right? Yes, I do. Do you need help in making decisions in life? Yes. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you to help you with all those things. He lives inside of me to help me with those things. With everything that's needed, the helper lives on the inside. See, the mirror that you have in your bathroom is not just a reminder when you look at it of how many miles you put on. That mirror should be a reminder that you house the King of Heaven on the inside of yourself. Imagine if those thoughts came to you every day. Before you left your bathroom, headed into your workforce world, that you looked at the mirror and went, yep. I'm alive, meaning he's alive inside of me. I'm carrying him. If you carry, I mean, you see these stickers on the back of cars, baby on board. And so that, what they're saying is, be careful around here. Do not hit my car. I've got a baby on board. Right? How about this? You have the Holy Spirit on board. On board. He lives inside of you. How should I conduct my life? How should I treat other people? How should I speak? What should I watch? What should I listen to? How should I behave? Just like Jesus. Because he's in me. He's in me. Pentecost is a reminder that he didn't just come, but he's still here, and he is waiting to live on the inside of every single one of his followers. He's here to live inside of me. So that when I see a mirror, I'm reminded he lives inside of me. I have him. Okay, I want to continue this next week. But this is a reminder. If you could, you mind standing with me? And if you could look at the person next to you for a second and remind them for a moment that the Holy Spirit lives inside of them. Just go ahead and say that to them. Say now to them, you have power. You have power. Say it to them. The helper lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. You are not an orphan. You're never alone. Say that one. That's a big one. Might need to say that again. You are never alone. You're a carrier of the King. Man, so let's just, while you're looking at him, go ahead and touch him on the shoulder, if that's all right. Let's just pray for each other. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name, the name that's higher than any other name. Change our minds, Lord. Help us to always remember and to see ourselves for who we really are. Your children that you love, that you live inside. Lord, I pray even right now, today, that would be the last day that we ever think of ourselves separate from you. May today be the last day that we ever even consider that you're not there on the inside of me. I pray that every day from this day forward, that every person in here who's received you would realize and recognize that they walk and live and move and have their being with you on the inside. May we be reminded at every mirror that we see that you live inside of me. And we just want to say thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for planning for the Holy Spirit to be sent, your Spirit from heaven. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and staying. Thank you for not leaving. Thank you for being with us forever. Thank you for empowering us to do what we can't do in our own strength. Thank you for enabling us to be witnesses of you and your great name in the earth. Thank you for healing us of every disease and every sickness. And we just right now say, Lord, come. We receive you afresh and anew. We receive you afresh and anew. Come on in, Holy Spirit. Come on in, Holy Spirit. Any room you're not in, we welcome you into right now. We welcome you into every bedroom in our heart. We welcome you into every kitchen in our heart. We welcome you into the family room in our heart. Every place in us, we welcome you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask that in any area where we've been afraid of the Holy Spirit, that you would turn that, just turn the tables on that, into love for the Holy Spirit, into love for you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are so gentle and merciful, that you're so patient with us. And Lord, I ask for supernatural experiences with you this week. Lord, I thank you that you speak to every one of your children here, and I ask for supernatural experiences with you this week. You said through Joel that in these days when the Holy Spirit's poured out, that we'd dream dreams and have visions and prophesy. So Lord, I ask for your dreams to come alive this week. I ask for your visions to be right in front of us, even right now. I ask for visions. I ask for the supernatural, for your power to be revealed through us. I ask that people would get saved this week that we know that we're praying for. I ask, Lord, that your message of the kingdom of heaven, that's the most beautiful gospel message of Jesus Christ, would come across our lips this week. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're the helper. Help all of us this week to live in your power, to live in your peace, anxiety-free, stress-free, fear-free, full of your peace and grace. In Jesus' powerful, strong, beautiful name. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. Thank you, Lord.